Welcome to Word Mission Church International Podcast. Now the Word with Paul Mensah Wood.
1 Corinthians chapter 12. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. So we've been studying about the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We looked at why we need the Holy Spirit in our lives, His work in our lives. And last week we talked about the fact that He's here to teach us, to impact, to help us in various ways in our prayer life and in so many ways. And so this morning we'll be looking at some spiritual gifts. We probably will have time to just look at about one or two, and next week we'll continue. But we'll go as far as God will let us. So verse 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says that, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of service, but the same Lord, and there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone." Verse 7 says, "To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gift of healing," or in the Greek literally it says gifts of healings, "by the one Spirit. To another the working of miracles. To another prophecy. To another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as He wills." So let's start from verse 1. We'll go through. It says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed." What you have to realize is that this letter was not written to an individual. This letter was written to a whole church. And what he's saying is, I do not want you to be uninformed or ignorant. So if he didn't want the church at Corinth to be ignorant, he doesn't want us to be ignorant or uninformed about these things. So that's what we are going through, so we can be informed. And you know, the Bible says in Romans 10:17 that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you don't know about it, then you wouldn't desire it. But if you know about it, then faith comes for you to be in expectation to receive. So he says, "I do not want you to be uninformed." Verse 2 says that, "You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit." You see, what was happening there was, when the Holy Spirit was in manifestation in their services, some of the people will get up under the wrong influence and say Jesus is cursed. So you can clearly see that that is not speaking under the influence of the Holy Spirit. By saying that when you are under the influence of the Holy Spirit, you will glorify Jesus. You will see Jesus, say that Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord when the Holy Spirit is in manifestation. You see, what you have to realize about spiritual gift is, they will always glorify the Lordship of Jesus. They will always magnify Jesus. They will always lift up the Lordship of Jesus. So if someone is operating in spiritual gift and doesn't magnify or give preeminence to the Lordship of Jesus, then we have to question what influence they are operating by. That's a yardstick you can always use. You have to check, are they walking by the basic principles of the Bible, by the light of God's word, and to know and to be able to judge that these people, are they trying to just exalt themselves? It will always magnify and glorify the Lord Jesus. So that's something that you have to realize. And now he goes on, verse 4, says that, now there are varieties of gifts by the same Spirit, and there are varieties of service by the same Lord. And then he goes through and then lists all the various manifestations or gifts of the Holy Spirit. We can divide all these gifts or these manifestations into three categories. The first category is the gifts that reveal something, the gift of revelation or the gifts that reveal something. The first one at the head of that list is the gift of the word of wisdom. Then the second one is the gift of the word of knowledge. And then the other one is the gift of the discerning of spirit. The discerning of spirit. Then there's another category, the gifts that do something, or we are commonly known as the power gift. The first one at the head of that list is the gift of faith. Then the second one there is the gift of the working of miracles. Then the third one is the gifts of healings. In the Greek, every time it's mentioned, it put the healings in plural. The gifts of healing. Then the third category there is the gift that speak, the utterance gift, or the vocal gift. The first one there is the gift of prophecy. The second one there is the gift of diverse kinds of tongues. And then the other one is the interpretation of tongues. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So it's the best gift is in all categories is the one that I gave at the top. The word, we have to call them the way the Bible calls them, or we can get confused. This morning we will look at the word of knowledge and touch a little bit on the word of wisdom. You see, the Bible calls it the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom. You see, sometimes in studying Bible subject, the best way to find out what something is to determine what it is not. Notice that the Bible calls it the gift of the word of knowledge. And when we understand that, it becomes easier to understand the word of wisdom. There's nothing in the Bible called the gift of knowledge. No, there's nothing like that. It calls it the gift of the word of knowledge. Because you see, God has all knowledge. God has all knowledge. He knows about you. He knows about everything. But when the gift of the word of knowledge is in manifestation, what is happening is he is giving you a piece of the knowledge that he has. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He's giving you a piece of the knowledge that he has. It's called the gift of the word of knowledge for a certain reason. And to define that gift, we can define it in this way. It is the revelation, supernatural revelation of the Holy Spirit of certain facts in the mind of God concerning people, places, or things, whether it is past or present. I'll say it again. It is the revelation, supernatural revelation of certain facts in the mind of God concerning places, people, or things, whether it is past or present. Thank you, Lord. So God gives us a piece of the knowledge that he has. So let's call it the way the Bible calls it, so we don't get confused. Like, for instance, if you call a dog a cat and a cat a dog, you can easily get it mixed up. Call it the gift of the word of knowledge. And this gift also is not knowledge that we gain by the study of the word of God. No, that's not what it is. It's not gained by the study of the word of God. That's different. It is. If that was the case, Paul wouldn't have told Timothy, a young minister, that study to show yourself approved unto God, that a workman that needs not to be ashamed. He told him to study so that he will be prepared to minister. But that knowledge of the scriptures is not the manifestation of the word of knowledge. And it's also not knowledge that we get by being walking in close fellowship and close relationship with God. No, that's not what it is. What it is God giving you a piece of the knowledge that he has when the circumstances or as the Spirit of God wills. So, for instance, if you go to a counselor, if you go to a lawyer, they have studied so many books, they have studied so many things, but they will give you advice, a piece, a portion of what they know. You see, a word is a fragment of a sentence. So God is giving us a piece of the knowledge that he knows when we talk about the gift of the word of knowledge. Let's see it in perfect illustration in the book of Acts, in Acts. Thank you, Father. In Acts chapter 9, glory be to God. Acts chapter 9, verse 10 to 12. Thank you, Father. Acts 9, 10 to 12. He says, "Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, 'Ananias,' and he said, 'Here I am, Lord.' And the Lord said to him, 'Rise and go to the street called Straight.'" Notice that. "Rise and go to the street called Straight. And at the house of Judah, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul, for behold, he is praying. And he has seen in a vision named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight." Verse 13. "But Ananias answered, 'Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name.' But the Lord said to him, 'Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name.'" Go back again. Verse 10 says that now there was a disciple. In our day, we'll call him like a layman. You see, the gift and the manifestation of the Spirit is given to us as the Spirit will. But it's not only for the ministry, but it can apply in our daily lives as well. And notice that, and sometimes we think that the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, it's not working in our, or just necessarily has to work in church. Notice, he was a lay person, a disciple. He wasn't in church. But he was ready for the manifestation. Hallelujah. We have to be open and stay ready for God to reveal himself to us no matter where we are. He was a disciple. The meaning of a disciple is a student. So he was a disciple of Jesus Christ. So we should expect this manifestation to happen in our daily lives as well. But notice here, he told him specifically, the Lord said to him, "Rise and go to the street." So there's a specific street in Damascus that he's leading him to. There are so many streets in Damascus. There are so many people praying at the time. God knows all of them. But the word of knowledge is being revealed to Ananias specifically. Certain facts in the mind of God concerning a place. It's called, the street is called Straight. Concerning a certain man, his name is called Saul. Do you see it? It's giving him certain facts in his mind so that he can go and help this person. That is how the word of knowledge can come by an inner revelation, or sometimes it can come by a vision. And in the book of Acts, we see other places where the word of knowledge came by through the ministry of angels. But either way, however it comes, it will be concerning people, places, or things which is either past or present. Glory to God. There was a certain group of people. They were reaching out into their community, and before they headed out, they decided, "Let's pray for about an hour and expect God to lead us before we go out." And when they started praying, after they had prayed, God gave one of them a vision, and in the vision, she just saw a certain street in the town, and then a certain apartment, and then a certain woman, and then the vision vanished. So they took it as a sign that God was leading them to go and minister somewhere. So they took the map. Again, there are so many people in the city, but God is specifically leading them in a certain direction to go and help somebody. They looked up the map of the city, and then they went to the exact place. And as when they started going, the person who had the vision recognized that this is the place. They knocked on the door, and when they knocked on the door, There was a certain woman lying on the bed, very sick, very sick, very sick. As soon as she saw them, she screamed and shouted, "Praise be to God." She said, "This morning I was praying, then God revealed to me that you came in and laid hands on me and I was healed." My Lord, after she finished shouting and praising, they did exactly that. And then the woman rose up from the bed. These things are not, they don't just, the book of Acts is our guideline. These things happen all the time. We have to be ready and expectant for the Holy Spirit to reveal himself and direct us and lead us as he wills. Thank you, Father. In another instance in the Bible, let's look at Peter. Peter, the very next verse in Acts chapter 10, verse 9. Glory to God. The next day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the housetop about the sixth hour to pray, and became hungry and wanted something to eat. But while they were preparing it, he fell into a trance and saw the heavens open and something like a great sheet descending, being let down by its four corners upon the earth. In it were all kinds of animals and reptiles and birds of the air. And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "By no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." And the voice came to him a second time, "What God has made clean, do not call common." This happened three times, and the thing was taken up at once to heaven. Now, while Peter was inwardly perplexed as to what the vision that he had seen might mean, behold, the man who were sent by Cornelius, having made inquiry for Simon's house, stood at the gate and called out to ask whether Simon, who was called Peter, was lodging there. And while Peter was pondering the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Behold, three men are looking for you. Rise and go down and accompany them without hesitation, for I have sent them." Peter was at the rooftop praying, but supernaturally, God revealed to him who was at the door. And God gave him again his plan. You see, these gifts work together. We just break them down to help us study. Like Ananias, God told him that certain things concerning Saul's life. He told him how he will suffer for his name. You see, the word of wisdom always has to do with the plan and the plan in the mind of God concerning the future. So these things work together. He revealed to Peter that there are some people at the gate. He hadn't, reached the gate yet, but God revealed to him that there are people at the gate. But go with them, don't hesitate, because Cornelius earlier on has seen a vision. He had seen God. He said, "Send for Peter." So he sent for Peter. He was in expectation. But God revealed it to Peter supernaturally, the people at the door. That is God helping him and giving him advanced knowledge of what is going to, of what is present as well as what's to come. There was another story of a certain minister. He was driving in his city, going somewhere, and God led him to stop at a certain church. And then he felt he had a knowing in his heart that he should go into the church. And he sat there and reasoned with himself. "Well, I don't want to make a fool of myself." He's sometimes how we reason things when God is leading us. We want to be cautious to know that we are following the right voice. But he didn't want to go in. And eventually he's like, what do I have to lose? I'll still go in and minister and see what happens. As soon as he went into the church, the priest was sitting there with his Bible open, and he shouted, "Praise the Lord. Hallelujah." And then the man knew that maybe God is up to something. He was excited. And then the priest told him that, "I've been reading about this baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I just a couple of hours ago, I was talking to God and saying, 'God, I don't know anybody that believes in this experience of being filled with the Holy Spirit and praying supernaturally in another tongue.'" belongs to God. Can you please send me somebody? The preacher said, bless the Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm in the right place. And he helped this minister to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, who was so hungry and testing after God. You see, so these things, in the case of Cornelius, Peter went into the house. He preached the word of God. And as he was preaching, the Holy Spirit fell on that company as they were listening to the word of God. And they received the baptism or the infilling of the Holy Spirit like in the beginning. So we have to be in expectation for these things to happen in our lives, and just let the Holy Spirit use us as he wills, or even when we come together corporately, be in expectation for God to manifest himself. Thank you, Father. And then let's read another instance in the Bible in 1 Samuel chapter 9. 1 Samuel chapter 9. Thank you, Father. 1 Samuel chapter 9. Glory be to God. 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 3. It says, now the donkeys of Kish, Saul's father, were lost. So Kish said to Saul, his son, take one of the young men with you and arise and go and look for the donkeys. And he passed through the hill country of Ephraim and passed through the land of Shalisha. But they did not find them. And they passed through the land of Shalim, but they were not there. Then they passed through the land of Benjamin, but they did not find them. And when they came to the land of Zuph, Saul said to his servant who was with him, come, let us go back, lest my father ceases to care about the donkeys and become anxious about us. But he said to him, behold, there is a man of God in this city, and he is a man who is held in honor. All that he says comes true, so let us go there. Perhaps he can tell us the way we should go. Then Saul said to his servant, but if we go, what can we bring the man? For the bread in our sacks is gone, and there is no present to bring to the man of God. What do we have? The servant answered Saul again, here I have with me a quarter of a shekel of silver, and I'll give it to the man of God to tell us our way. Formerly in Israel, when a man went to inquire of God, he said, come, let us go to the seer. For today's prophet was formerly called a seer. And Saul said to his servant, well said, come, let us go. So they went to the city where the man of God was. As they went up the hill to the city, they met young women coming out to draw water and said to them, is the seer here? Let's jump to verse 15. Verse 15, it says that now the day before Saul came, the Lord revealed to Samuel, tomorrow about this time, I will send to you a man from the land of Benjamin, and you shall anoint him to be prince over my people Israel. He shall save my people from the hand of the Philistine. For I've seen my people because their cry has come to me. When Samuel saw Saul, the Lord told him, here is the man of whom I spoke to you. He it is who shall restrain my people. Verse 18, then Saul approached Samuel in the gate and said, tell me, where is the house of the seer? 19, Samuel answered Saul, I am the seer. Go up before me to the high place, for today you shall eat with me, and in the morning I will let you go, and will tell you all that is on your mind. Notice verse 20, as for your donkeys that were lost 3 days ago, do not set your mind on them, for they have been found. For whom is all that is desirable in Israel? Is it not for you and for all your father's house? Don't worry about the donkeys. How did someone know that, number one, donkeys were missing, and number two, donkeys have been found? Don't worry about the donkeys, they have been found. He knew renew it by the revelation of the word of knowledge. I'm sure so many donkeys were straying around in Israel, but he only knew about Saul's specific case and the donkeys that were lost. This morning, even as we study the word of God, I pray in the name of Jesus, anything that is missing or lost in your life, in any area of your life where you desire a restoration, may God, by the power of his Holy Spirit and by the power of his word, restore it in the mighty name of Jesus. If that's you, say a big amen. Amen. Glory be to God. He said, those donkeys that you are looking for have been found. Don't worry about it. God has it. God has the situation. And then he gave him further revelation concerning something that is supposed to come in his life through the manifestation of the word of wisdom. My Lord and my God. There was a certain family, their child was kidnapped, and for 22 years they didn't know where the child was. Everybody thought that the child was dead. But when they heard something along this line saying that, I mean, God knows everything. He can reveal where this child is to us. The mother somehow in her heart felt that my child is not dead. And so they began to desire and to seek God for God to show them where this child was. And as they were praying, again, somebody saw a vision and saw that this child was in a certain place, was in a certain garage, and had her two daughters. And then in addition to that, she added a word of wisdom and said, within 30 days, this child will be found and will come home. And sure enough, within 30 days, the child wrote a letter and said to their parents and said, if you are still alive, I want to come and see you. 22 years ago, I was kidnapped by these people, and since then I've been chained in a house, but now I have my freedom and I can come and see you. They knew that by the revelation of the word of knowledge. And as they heard the word of God, they were in expectancy that God knows everything. And concerning my child, that God knows where the child is. My Lord, anything that is missing, that needs restoration in your life, God knows about that situation. God knows about the circumstances. But set yourself that you will seek the Lord. And when we desire these things, he will reveal them to us. This was the manifestation of the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom in action. No case has gone too far for God. 22 years, the daughter came home. Glory be to God. And then in another instance as well, just right there in the same 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 22, right there in that neighborhood. 1 Samuel 10:22. I'll summarize the story. But this was when Saul was ready, when they were ready to anoint Saul as king. And he went to hide himself. So they inquired again of the Lord, is there a man still to come? And the Lord said, behold, he has hidden himself among the baggage. He has hidden himself among the baggage. Then they ran and took him from there. See, so notice, the Lord revealed it to Samuel that Saul was hiding in the baggage. Saul was hiding around there. By the revelation of the word of knowledge as well, people that are lost or lost property can be recovered. I remember one time we were moving and we were packing. And in the midst of the packing, you know how when you are moving, you have things everywhere. we were packing, and then Paula dropped her wedding band, her golden ring, and it fell somewhere. By the time we realized, like, it's not there. And I said, God, reveal to me golden wedding ring. No, it's not going anywhere. We have to find it. But then I asked God, God, show me, I mean, in the midst of all these things, where this wedding ring is. And instantly, I knew exactly where, in the midst of all the pile and everything, I went to the exact place and I said, please, wedding ring, come along. My wife needs a wedding ring. But I desired for God to show me. See, when something is lost, that's sometimes the best way to find stuff. See, God will show you. In this case, he was ready to be anointed king of Israel, and he was hiding. And God said, this is exactly the place that he's hiding. And they went to pull him, and they anointed him as king. By the way, word of knowledge, lost property can be restored as well. Lost property can be restored. Another instance again was in the life of, there's so many directions I can go. Was in the life of the king of Israel. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 9 to 12. Thank you, Father. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 9 to 12. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 9 to 12. Listen to this. Glory be to God. He says, and I, it says, let's read that. That's so important. But the man of God sent word to the king of Israel, beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are going down there. And the king of Israel sent to the place about which the man of God had told him. Thus he used to warn him so that he saved himself there more than once or twice. And the mind of the king of Syria was greatly troubled because of this thing. And he called his servants and said to them, will you not show me who of us is for the king of Israel? And one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet who is in Israel tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom. This person, they are at war, and the king of Israel has inside information. He has an advantage over his enemies because of the manifestation of the word of knowledge. He has the advantage. Every time he makes a step, the prophet is right there. He got confused. Who is here that is revealing my war secret to our enemies? Who is here that is revealing all these things to my enemies? Then they said, there is a prophet in Israel. He knows it supernaturally by the word of knowledge and tells the king of Israel. You can be ahead in life and ahead in the game when you have the help of the Holy Spirit. There was a certain couple or family. One day they were sitting in a restaurant and they got a word. And all of a sudden, the food had been served and they were ready to eat. And they had this knowing, let's go home and go home now. Forgetting about the food and everything, they packed up and they went home. As soon as they got home, the water heater blew up and a fire was started. But they were right there to call the fire department to come and rescue and turn out the fire. What if they hadn't obeyed? God was revealing to them by the word of knowledge that people rise up and go home. Rise up and go home doesn't mean anything. But you have to, be willing that if God is leading you, or if God has revealed something to you, you are going to obey. As soon as they got there, within a few minutes, the whole thing blew up. But they were right there. God was helping them. And to avoid their whole house, probably it may have been burned down. These things are available for us. These things are available for us. When I was a student, sometimes I will study, and I'm still a student. I'm a student for life. I'll keep studying from now till Jesus Christ comes. But I'm talking about in college. I will study, but while I'm studying, I'm asking God, show me where these questions are coming from. And I'm getting an advantage. The Holy Spirit is not just here for us to, as a hitchhiker, for us to ride in life with. He is here to help us. And so sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes I would know supernaturally by God helping me, by the Holy Spirit, that the questions will be along these lines. And when I go and I open the paper and the questions are there, I'll start rejoicing. And then I'll answer the questions. And when I leave the exam room feeling very good that God has helped me in this exam that I was faced with. You see, he helps us. These things are available for us as the Spirit of God will. The Holy Spirit is our partner. A Holy Spirit is our partner. He's our helper. He's our counselor. He's our advocate. The Amplified expands it and said he's our standby. You have help with you all the time. You just have to look up to him that he will guide you. And now, the final story. Oh, I love this one. In 1 Kings chapter 19. I'll summarize it. Elijah had fire. He had called down fire. He had called down fire from heaven, and he won the contest that he had with the prophets of Baal. And then right afterwards, he started running away. Jezebel said, "Tomorrow by this time, If Elijah's head is still on his shoulder, then I'm not called Jezebel." that's my summary of it. "I am going to take your head off your shoulder for killing all these people." This prophet who had just called down fire started running. Prophet running away from a woman. My Lord, what's going on? Something is not right. He started running away, and he was so depressed and so dejected when he got to his destination. He said, "God, you take away my life. I am the only one left in the land that is serving you. I am the only one that is doing your will. I cannot do this anymore. Please take away my life." Let me ask you a question. If he wanted to die, he could have stayed where he was. That would have been the easiest way to die. Why travel all this long distance and say, "God, take away my life"? No. He was so discouraged, he wanted to die. He didn't want to die any more than you want to die today. But he was discouraged. He said, "I am the only one left in the land. I am the only one left in the land who is serving you." So many times it feels that way sometimes, doesn't it? That we are the only people serving the Lord in the land. You are the only one. But no, listen to the answer that God gave him in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 14. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 14. Listen to what God told him. It says, "Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed down to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." Or the other translation, "I've left for myself 7,000. How did he know? He thought he was the only person left. But God was encouraging him and saying, there are 7,000, through the word of knowledge, there are 7,000 people in the land that have not bowed down to Baal. I pray in the mighty name of Jesus, when God is counting the people that are committed to him, that when God is counting the people that have not bowed their knees to the things of the world, but that are serving him and committed and following him, may you be in that number." Hallelujah. May you be in the number of people in your generation that are standing for God. I want to be in that number. I want to be counted as somebody, oh, who is zealous for God, who is serving God, who is committed to God. Oh, come high or low, no matter what comes up, I and my house, we will serve the Lord. I and my house, we will serve the Lord. We have chosen. We have chosen that we will not bow down. May you be in that number. If that's you, say a big amen. Amen. Say a big amen. Amen. There are 7,000 people. Every generation, God has a remnant. In every nation, God has a remnant. And I pray that we are counted among that remnant. Oh, Lord. So how do we get all these things that we are talking about? How do we get all these things that we are talking about? Let's go back to where we started. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 31. Glow all these gifts. We only have time. Next week we'll continue on the other manifestations or the other gifts. But 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31 says, listen to what he says, "But earnestly desire the higher gift." Or the New King James said, "Desire the best gift." Earnestly desire or covet. God tells us not to covet. But when it comes to spiritual gift, he says, covet earnestly the best gift. Covet earnestly. Earnestly desire. I like that. Earnestly desire the best gift. You say, what's the best gift? The best gift is the one that you need at the time. The best gift is the one that you did at the time. Earnestly desire. Covet earnestly the best gift. And then he goes on to talk about love in chapter 13. And then in chapter 14, he starts it again. Pursue love and earnestly covet or earnestly desire the spiritual gift. It all starts with a desire. If you don't desire it, the Holy Spirit won't bother you with it. But if you desire it, if you desire these things, he will manifest himself in our midst and in our lives as well as we go about our daily duties. Earnestly covet or earnestly desire the best gift. From today, as you position yourself, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus that the fullness of the Holy Spirit, the fullness of what God has for your life will come to pass. No matter the circumstances of your life, no matter what you may be going through, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus that God will step in. Oh, if that's you, say a big amen. Amen. Oh, say a big amen. Amen. Desire spiritual gift. Earnestly desire. The best gift. Earnestly desire these things. As we desire, you see, this thing was, like I said in the beginning, it wasn't written to an individual. It was written to your church. And so as the whole church, as all of us desire these things, God is free to manifest himself as he wills. Glory be to God. Let's pray. Thank you, Father. Talk to God this morning. Earnestly desire the best gift. 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 These are things that God has made available for us. Earnestly desire the best gift. Earnestly desire the best gift. Talk to God and say, Lord, I want to see the fullness of what you have for my life as I cooperate with you through your word and through the Holy Spirit. Lord, that which you have for me, take me up to another level in you, O God. I am hungry for more of you. I am hungry for your very best. I am hungry for wholeness. I am hungry for your very best. Oh, the Lord ministered this to me. You are here this morning. And recently you are asking God, when? Lord, when? Lord, when? God says to tell you that roll over the care of that to him and he will take care of that situation. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Talk to God this morning and say, Lord, I want the fullness of all that you have for me. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. And if you are listening to this, access to the are watching online, access to the gifts and the manifestation of the Holy Spirit starts by receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as then making him the Lord of your life. Maybe you are in a place where you are frustrated. Maybe you are in a place where you are discouraged. Maybe you are in a place where you are asking, where is God? This morning, God is available for you. He will hear your cry and bring you into the kingdom of God and let you receive his very best. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit, whom the world cannot receive, the Holy Spirit, whom the world cannot receive, you must be born again to receive the Holy Spirit. If you want to start a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and receive him into your life and receive the help of the Holy Spirit, say, Lord Jesus, I have heard your word. Thank you for your best gift, the gift of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, I receive him as my Lord and as my Savior. Thank you, I'm saved. Thank you, I am in the kingdom of God. Lord, we thank you and we give you praise. Thank you for all the testimonies that we are receiving, both here in our city and all over the world and the nations of people coming into your kingdom. We give you praise and glory. Let's raise our hands and our prayers before we go this morning. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray that the fullness of the presence of God, the fullness of the Holy Spirit will be made manifest in your life this week and in this month and in this season. May you receive God's very best in any area of your life where you need restoration. I speak and declare restoration in the mighty name of Jesus. In any area of your life where you need encouragement, may He encourage you. May God fill your mouth with a testimony this week. May goodness and mercy follow you this week. In the mighty name of Jesus. May God bless you. May He keep you. May He cause His face to shine upon you and give you His peace. His shalom, nothing missing and nothing broken in your life. Thank you, Father, for your goodness. Thank you for your love. And thank you for our time together. We bless your name and we give you praise.
We trust this podcast was a blessing. Subscribe for more messages like these. If you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, we would love to hear from you. Email us at info@wordmissionchurchinternational.org. We will love to equip you in daily walk, so sign up for daily devotionals and encouragement at www.wordmissionchurchinternational.org. You may reach us at 719-235-5535 or write us at P.O. Box 15883, Colorado Springs, Colorado 80935.